Hello, it's Wednesday, June 24th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. The US Secretary of State Marco Rubio has a tough sell ahead of him. He's visiting Kuwait, the UAE and Bahrain today in a bid to reassure America's Gulf allies after Washington signed an interim agreement with Iran. My guest today, Middle East scholar and senior fellow at ISGAP, Dalia Ziada, argues that what was signed is less a deal than a memorandum of misunderstanding and one that has left many Arab states deeply uneasy. We'll hear more from her in a moment, but first the headlines. Well, Iran's chief negotiator, Mohammad Ghalibaf, has just announced on state TV that the MOU is a declaration of America's defeat and the result of the brave Iranian resistance. As Washington and Tehran continue to contradict each other over whether UN nuclear inspectors will be allowed back into Iran, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency has weighed in. Rafael Grossi says the agreement explicitly states that Iran's nuclear facilities will remain under UN supervision. However, no date has been set for inspectors to return. Well, there are concerns here in Israel that it's being cut out of security arrangements for Lebanon, even as Hezbollah remains a major threat. The Trump administration wants vetted Lebanese army soldiers to take control of the parts of the country currently held by the IDF. Israel's ambassador to Washington, Yehiel Leiter, who's involved in the talks, warned yesterday that the negotiations risk becoming a train wreck if Iran's influence in Lebanon is not addressed. There's even talk of Qatar being brought in as a mediator. And seeking to shore up its other proxy, Iranian state media reports that Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has held talks with a senior Hamas official following last week's agreement with the US. The text does not mention Gaza, but it does call for an immediate end to military operations on all fronts. And on that note, Morocco has confirmed that it has deployed military officers to join a US-backed international stabilization force that's being assembled for Gaza. Morocco is the first Arab country to publicly contribute personnel as part of a broader plan to secure Gaza and oversee Hamas's eventual disarmament. And finally, Israeli police are preparing for widespread ultra-Orthodox protests against military conscription later today. Haredi groups are planning demonstrations at multiple locations to protest the arrest of draft dodgers and to demand the release of detained yeshiva students. Police are warning of major traffic disruption. According to the IDF, around 80,000 ultra-Orthodox men eligible for military service have not enlisted, while the military says it urgently needs thousands of additional recruits as the wars against Hamas and Hezbollah continue. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Dalia Ziada. Secretary Rubio's visit to the Gulf, has he been sent on something of a mission impossible to sell the deal with Iran?
This visit by Secretary Rubio to Gulf states reflects some kind of a diplomatic disagreement within the administration. We have one team that is pro the deal, supportive of the deal, another team is against it. And this other team Rubio is part of, and he wants to make sure that in the process, while the other side is going all the way with Iran, that at the same time, the U.S. will not lose its strategic partners, especially in the Gulf, because they are not only political or diplomatic partners, but also economic partners who are essential for the MAGA concept in general. So he wants to make sure this is going to be the case. And also, most importantly, he wants to kind of manage the rising coalitions, not only against the deal, it's against the United States. So there are some coalitions forming. One side is mainly the Israel-Bahrain UAE side, and the other is Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, as we saw in the last few days. So he wants to make sure that these coalitions will not be a force against the US in the future.
Because he's visiting Kuwait, Bahrain, and the UAE. These are the three Arab allies who have been hit the hardest during the war with Iran. I mean, we saw Kuwait airport getting bombed, and President Trump just seemed to shrug it off at one point. You've got to imagine that they are going to be pretty upset with what's going on now.
Definitely. Actually, he's also very strategic about which countries he's visiting and which countries he's not visiting. It may be surprising to some of us in the region, for example, to see that he's not visiting Saudi Arabia. He's not holding the GCC meeting in Saudi Arabia, but in Bahrain. So why this is the case? So Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates are declared enemies by the Iranians for several reasons. Among them is being the normalizers with Israel, being the Gulf countries that got the courage to normalize relationships with Israel, which destroys all the Iran narratives that feeds its proxies and legitimizes kind of its proxies and its activities in the region. So he wants to make sure that these two main actors, Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, they know very well that the US is not letting them down, and their concerns, especially being the ones who absorbed the most strikes from Iran during the war, is that their concerns of how to deal with this thug in their neighborhood, which is Iran, in the future will be taken into consideration within any agreement that will happen between the United States and Iran. Kuwait is very interesting because it is kind of the juxtaposition of Oman. Kuwait has always been the, when you look at the Gulf states, it has always played the role of the young sister who wants to make everybody happy, who wants to please everyone and make everyone reconcile and so. So Kuwait, if we look geographically, Kuwait and Oman are the closest in terms of distance to Iran. Geographically speaking, Kuwait at the top of the Persian Gulf and Oman at the very bottom of the Persian Gulf. So Oman, we know the position of Oman. Oman is already taking the side of Iran, unfortunately, and they are doing everything to please Iran. Kuwait is not. Kuwait is very confused, it feels abandoned, it feels scared, and it cannot at the same time latch to any of the current coalitions in the region. So Kuwait is extremely, extremely significant to keep as a US ally in case the US in the near future, hopefully, I hope so, will decide to punish Iran again. Why Saudi Arabia was not visited, I believe, it's coming from the side of Saudi Arabia, not from the side of the U.S. I'm sure the U.S. Secretary, Rubio, would want to stop in Saudi Arabia. Definitely, Saudi Arabia is a very important partner to the United States. However, it seems that Saudi Arabia is very, very angered by being left out of all the negotiations around this issue, of all the preparation for such negotiations and so. And of course, Saudi is not happy by seeing Qatar playing like the string master in the background, moving everybody around, including the United States. So I believe it is the Saudis who did not want to be involved right now.
What about this alliance then between Qatar, Pakistan, Turkey and Egypt? What are we to make of that?
It was interesting, actually, that at the same time when the US and Iran were meeting in the Qatari-owned resort in Switzerland the other day, that the foreign ministers of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Turkey came to Cairo to meet, and Pakistan was also involved. So they came. Why they came there? Because I believe they wanted to give a message that we are still the most relevant actors when it comes to any discussions about Iran, not Pakistan and not Qatar, who are already partners to Iran in its Islamist project. Turkey and Egypt in particular, they want to emphasize or to give this signal to the United States, you cannot do without us. We are the real players here. We are the actual players here. You cannot play this game without us. So I believe this was the goal. And Saudi Arabia wanted also to emphasize its importance as an actor in this, and also to see that I can balance what the US is doing with Iran with another coalition that may actually threaten this. So it's once again, the region, the shifting alliances in the region are happening as we speak, and they will keep shifting and changing until we reach a final form that will shape the future of the Middle East.
You know, some people are telling me this MOU won't even last 60 days. Where do you stand? Do you think there will be a final agreement?
I call it the Memorandum of Misunderstanding. It seems that the US is signing on something and the Iranians are signing on something else. Because we can see this very clearly in the statements by Vice President J.D. Vance. He was saying that the UN is going to get into Iran and monitor the nuclear facilities. And so we know this is impossible. Iran said, no, we are not going to allow such a thing. So it seems that, yes, we have something on paper. paper 14 points, but it seems that the 14 points that the Iranians are reading are different from the 14 points that the Americans are reading. And actually knowing how devious and evil this terrorist regime in Iran is, I know for sure they will keep manipulating the U.S. for as long as they can. And then eventually, when they get strong again, when they can regroup, rearm again, they will just show us the real face.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching. And please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.